My name is John DeLynn, and I'm an ex-Mormon. Around 2002, I read a book by a man named William Manchester, who I think David Conley Nelson's name might recognize. He wrote a book called The Last Lion Alone, which was a book about Winston Churchill. And I learned something really cool about Winston Churchill I never knew. It turns out that he was a really seasoned politician, and he was really popular and well-known in England for many, many years prior to the 1930s. But as a politician, he made three really big mistakes. There was this war called Gallipoli, I think, where it was kind of a disaster. He supported the gold standard, which ended up being a disaster, and he opposed Gandhi. And all those things sort of made him sort of a laughingstock amongst the British. And so by the 30s, he was still holding on as sort of a parliamentarian, but most people considered him kind of a joke and a laughingstock. And so as Hitler started rising to power in Germany, you know, I would have thought that the British would have been really scared by that. Well, it turns out that, from what I understand, that wasn't necessarily the case, that in many ways, Hitler was sort of respected and revered by many British, at least in those earlier years, to the point where couples would wear little bracelets that had little swastikas on them, sort of as just a trendy little thing to do. But what made Churchill so respectable in my eyes is that he noticed the oncoming menace, which was Hitler. And before any of the other politicians in England really were sounding the alarms, he was. And for many years, he would stand up and say, "This is a problem. This is going to be a problem. We need to do something about this." And people would laugh at him and dismiss him. And ultimately, he was right. And he paid a pretty big, you know, price, at least initially, for seeing something ahead that was really important and speaking openly about it. And that's why I named my youngest son Winston. When I first started struggling really significantly with the church in the, you know, 2002 timeframe, I started having exposures to ex-Mormons. I remember reading Sandra and Gerald Tanner's sort of materials and just feeling like they were just too dark and too mean-spirited. So I dismissed them. I remember when the internet came out, I remember stumbling on Bob McHugh and Richard Packham's stuff when I was still at Microsoft. And I remember reading through it and reading about McHugh's exchanges with Elder Holland and other really interesting writings. And I thought, well, there's a lot of wisdom here, but it's too dark and angry, and it's not it doesn't feel right to me. I remember meeting Grant Palmer when I did that really early episode with Mormon Stories and thinking, well, this guy's really smart, and he has a really cool story, and he's got a lot to say, but he's really kind of angry and bitter, and you know, I don't want to end up, you know, like him. I remember feeling the same. You know, I would see all through the time I was doing Mormon Stories, I would secretly listen to the ex-Mormon conference audios every year when they came out. I always looked forward to them. And I remember listening to, you know, people like Tal Bachman and others. Did he give a keynote here at one point? Yeah. And again, I would always go, wow, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's a cool story. But again, you know, I'm glad I'll never be up at the testimony Mike Knight, you know, bearing my testimony, because those people are really angry and bitter, you know, and I never want to. So, you know, several things along the way kind of cracked me open. I'll just tell you one really briefly. When we moved to Logan in 2004, my wife joined a book club. And in that book club, there was this really sweet woman named Jane Ann. She was an elderly woman, and she would knit during the book club. And she always said really wise things, really witty things. And even though most of the members of the book club were really devout, Jane Ann always said sort of edgy, slightly controversial things that made everyone kind of question and look. And my wife would kind of think, wow, she's got an edge to her. Well, it turns out this was Richard Packham's sister. And she was my wife's favorite person in Logan. And at some point, a few years after that, I remember my wife emailing me and telling me that Jane Ann was dead. And I'm like, wow, you know, what happened? And she's like, oh, you know, the family said she just kind of had a heart attack or something. I don't remember what the excuse was, but it was something very unexpected. And we're like, oh, well, that's too bad. Then I remember going on the ex-Mormon website and reading Richard Packham tell the story that his sister had actually taken her own life because of church-related concerns. The sense was that she was depressed and sad and stuck in this situation and felt so desperate that she ended up taking her own life. That, along with my exposure to the LGBT community and the suicides that happened there, at some point really started pressing on me. Because even though I felt like I was the sunshine, golden Mormon boy, at the same time, I saw the damage that the church was doing to people. And if you can imagine that tension sort of weighing against me continually, it started to really wear on me. And oftentimes people would criticize me very understandably, saying, how can he stay in the church? Is he just playing a game? And how can he speak so irresponsibly about ex-Mormons? You know, I was sort of hated. At some point, I was hated by all sides. And it sucked. But at the same time, it was really, really hard, you know, because I knew it wasn't true, but I couldn't leave it because I loved it too much. And, you know, there's a quote from The Karate Kid where Mr. Miyagi says to Daniel-san, he says, right side road, okay. Left side road, okay. Middle road, scores like grape. And that's what was happening to me. By 2012, 2013, the pressure that I was experiencing was starting to crush me. And so I'm gonna do something that I'm not sure that ever been done at my open mic night in the ex-Mormon conference. I'm gonna thank the LDS Church. And I don't mean to do this in any cutesy way. I actually mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank the LDS Church for excommunicating me. Because I honestly wouldn't have been able to do it. But I'm very happy now. And my family is very happy now. I often think about how did I let this happen? And I guess as a psychologist, I turned to Pavlov. And we all know that when he paired the bell with the feeding, he could get the dogs to salivate ultimately through just ringing the bell. And I feel like I was conditioned to see you all as dark and loathsome. Like others.
And bitter.
And it's funny because the church has that saying, beware of those who call good evil and evil good, right? But they're the ones that condition you to think and consider what is good and what is evil. So in some ways, it's sort of this self-fulfilling prophecy that they sort of condition you into. And so I want to publicly apologize for the many years that I looked upon you guys as dark and angry. I'm sorry. And I also want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being a light to the world, so that you could stand there with your sort of your lighthouse shining, so that the boats that are sort of traveling through the dangerous weather could see a shore. And what's most difficult about what you guys have done, who've come before us, is that you took the heat of being willing to be called dark and angry and loathsome, and you suffered the pain of facing those stereotypes so that you could stand up and be a beacon for the rest of us to come. That's what you've done. When there's anger here, it's more than justified. But when I am here, I don't feel darkness. What I feel is light. And I think that the logo that you see up here is very appropriate. Maybe the sun is just sort of peeking out from the mountainside, and maybe it's starting to lift up a little bit. But we all know sort of what that next step is. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we're going to get to high noon, where the sun is beaming brightly and shining down on this great, beautiful world of ours. And, you know, we all know about the LGBT people that were sort of stereotyped as being, again, dark and perverted and dirty, right? Most of that's lies, but if there was any truth to that, maybe it was because they were forced to live in darkness and hide because they weren't allowed to stand in the full sunlight. And that's what's around the corner for us. As we stand up, as we come to conferences like this, and as we identify as ex-Mormons, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be holding up that light to the world. And that light's going to shine down so brightly that it's going to be blinding to those who are trying to refuse to see it. So I just want to give my sincere thanks to all of you and just say that the sun is really bright and it's just going to get brighter. And I can't wait to share that with you. So thank you.